looking at the first verse, which is the foundation of the entire psalm. The rest of the psalm is basically an enlargement upon that first verse, a meditation upon the first verse. We've seen that David takes the position of the sheep, and we've seen what that means. Now we see the recognition of the Lord's position. The Lord is my shepherd. So there is a recognition, there's an awareness of the person of the shepherd. The person, of course, is the Lord. Jesus Christ is prophesied to be the shepherd. Notice in Genesis chapter 49, Genesis 49 and verse 24, "But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel." Referring, of course, to Jesus Christ. And in the New Testament, the shepherd is identified as Christ. All through both the Old and the New Testament, Christ is presented by numerous metaphors and imageries which all speak of his person. Not only do they speak of his person, they also speak of the need of man. We see in Zechariah 13 and verse 1 that he is the fountain. He is the fountain. Again, that says something about his person. But it also says something about the need of man. He is the rock, Matthew 16, verse 18. And 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. Again, saying something about his person and our need. John said in John 1, verse 36, "Behold the Lamb of God." He is the Lamb. He is the bread of life. He identified himself as such in John chapter 6 and several times. He is the door. He said in John 10 and verse 9, "I am the door of the sheep." He is the way, the truth, and the life in John 14 and verse 6. He refers to himself as the vine. In John 15, verses 1 and verse 5, he's the head. He's referred to such in several places, but in Colossians 2, verse 19, he's the head of the body, the church. He's the apostle. Hebrews 3, verse 1. That is, he's the sent one of God. He's the high priest, Hebrews 3, verse 1. He's our advocate, 1 John 2, verse 2. And many, many, many more metaphors and imageries are used to describe Christ. But here in Psalm 23 and throughout the New Testament, he is the shepherd. He is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, a shepherd, for the most part, was chosen and appointed to take care of the sheep. So it is with Christ. He was appointed of God the Father to take care of the sheep. He was chosen and appointed of God the Father to take care of the sheep. And everything that he is for the sheep. He is on behalf of the sheep. So let's consider Christ as the shepherd. First of all, he is a faithful shepherd.
We read in the Bible of hirelings. There were those who were paid to take care of sheep. And the hireling, of course, would not risk his life. They weren't paid that much. He's not going to risk his life for the sheep. The hireling will flee. John 10 makes reference to this. But he's a faithful shepherd. First of all, he's faithful to God the Father. God the Father chose and appointed him to be the shepherd. And he is faithful to God the Father. And he is faithful to the sheep. He cannot be unfaithful to the sheep and be faithful to the one who appointed him to take care of the sheep. So he's faithful to the sheep. Now, as a faithful shepherd, he does everything that the Father appointed him to do on behalf of the sheep. And everything he does on behalf of the sheep. First of all, he is the Savior Shepherd. Notice in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man is come. Now, we know, of course, that he was sent. He was sent of God the Father. And he came. He came to do something. He came to seek and to save. And he came to seek and to save specific people. People that were lost. Came to seek and to save that which was lost. So he was chosen and appointed to be the Savior of the sheep. As such, he came to seek those sheep. And he came to save or deliver those sheep. Now, as a faithful Savior Shepherd, he will save each and every one that he came to save. He cannot lose any of them. He cannot fail to save a single one. So he, as a faithful shepherd, he will save each one that he came to save. Now, this is implied and stressed all through the New Testament. In Matthew 1, verse 21, the message of the angel to Joseph was, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for," or "because." This is why you call his name Jesus. "He shall save his people." Did not say that he will save some people, though that is true, but it's more specific. He shall save his people, from their sins. Now, who are his people? Luke 19, verse 10, those which are lost. He came to seek and to save those which are lost. His people. His people. John chapter 10, verse 16. Jesus is doing the speaking. "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold," this particular fold. "Them," the "them" is the other sheep, "which I have, also, in addition to this fold, I must bring." I must bring them. Why? Why must he bring them? Because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Because he shall save his people. Now, how are they going to be saved? He must bring them. They don't bring themselves. He must bring them. And they, these other sheep, shall hear. They shall hear. There's no salvation without hearing his voice. They shall hear my voice. So we see here the shepherd is in control, and he's faithful. Them also I must bring, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. John 10, verse 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice. Again, he said there in verse 16, they shall hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. Know every single one of them. And they follow me. And I give unto them. I give unto them my sheep. My sheep. Which are the same as the lost in Luke 19 and verse 10. I give unto them eternal life. As a result, they, my sheep, shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me, my Father gave me these sheep is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now over in John 17, very familiar verses, Jesus is praying. Again, we see the faithfulness of the shepherd. The faithfulness of the shepherd to God the Father, who appointed him to be the Savior of the sheep. And of course, his faithfulness to the sheep. Verse 2, as thou hast given him, speaking of himself, power, authority over all flesh. That. Reason he has authority over all flesh. Now, that's universal. All flesh. Saved and unsaved. Chosen and unchosen. He has authority over all flesh. He has to in order to be the Savior of the sheep. That. Reason he has authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. It does not say, thou hast given him authority over all flesh that he should offer eternal life to all. That's not what it says. But that he should give eternal life. And then that's restricted to as many as thou hast given him. Again, he's faithful. He's going to accomplish that. Verse 3. And this is life eternal. He said he's going to give them eternal life. Now, what is this eternal life? That they may know thee. Eternal life and knowing God go hand in hand. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses want you to believe that Jesus Christ and Jehovah are two separate entities, and that you know one without knowing the other. But we see here that eternal life consists of knowing God and Jesus Christ. If you do not know Jesus Christ, you do not have eternal life. It's that simple. Verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. That's his faithfulness. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And it's a work for the sheep. Verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. I have manifested thy name to those that you gave me. Once again, you see the faithfulness of the shepherd. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they the ones that he gave to Christ, have kept thy word. Verse 8, for I have given unto them the sheep that the Father gave to Christ, the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. They have received what? The words which the Father gave to Christ. There is no salvation without a receiving of the words of the Lord. And have known surely that I came out from thee. The saved know for certain that Jesus Christ came from the Father, and they have believed that thou didst send me. But once again, we see the faithfulness of the shepherd. For I have given unto them. And then everything that precedes that is the result of. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those which thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 19, and for their sakes, the sheep, those whom the Father gave to Christ, I sanctify myself, I set myself apart, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Again, the faithfulness of the shepherd. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou gavest me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He is the faithful shepherd. He is the Savior shepherd. This is revealed here in John 10. It's revealed in John 17 that he is the Savior shepherd. Now, as such, he is referred to as the good shepherd. Notice in John chapter 10, verse 11, John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. This is in the context of I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. Specific. Verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man, verse 18, taketh it, my life, from me. No man takes his life from me, but I lay it down willingly of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again, referring to the resurrection. This commandment, to lay down my life for the sheep and to take it up again, have I received of my Father. But going back to John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. And then we see verse 15, verse 17, and verse 18, the emphasis of being the good shepherd is that he lays down his life for the sheep. So, the good shepherd, the Savior shepherd, as the good shepherd, he paid the sin debt of the sheep. And in doing so, he was faithful to God the Father. He was faithful to the sheep. So he's the good shepherd. The Bible also says he's the great shepherd. Notice in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. Now we see that God brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he is the great shepherd. As such, he rose from the dead. Why? To save his sheep from the power of sin. As the good shepherd, he lays down his life to pay the sin debt of his sheep. As the great shepherd, he rises from the dead to save the sheep from the power of sin. He is also the chief shepherd. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. 1 Peter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Speaking, the promise there is to ministers. But our point is, and when the chief shepherd shall appear. So the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The great shepherd rises from the dead for his sheep, saving them from the power of sin. And the chief shepherd shall come for his sheep, the very ones he laid down his life for, the very ones that he rose from the dead for, he shall come for, saving them from the presence of sin. Salvation is a deliverance from the sin debt. It is a deliverance from the power or the authority of sin. And it will eventually be a deliverance from the presence of sin. The Arminian and many others stress, their point of emphasis is that Jesus Christ is a Savior from hell. And he is. But that is not the point of emphasis in the Word of God. The point of emphasis in the Word of God is that he is a Savior from sin. Matthew 1:21. Again, he shall save his people from their sin. As a result of being saved from sin, you are saved from hell. But salvation is a deliverance from sin. And you have to seriously doubt, at least question, someone who is always talking about they were saved from hell. Well, you were saved from much more than that. Sin. And I don't believe the Lord saves anybody without them realizing their sin. Because that's what they're saved from. So we have, has the Savior Shepherd. He's the Good Shepherd. He's the Great Shepherd. He's the Chief Shepherd. And he's all of these things for the sheep. And they all speak of his work for the sheep. They all speak of his faithfulness to God, the Father, and his faithfulness to the sheep. So he is the Savior Shepherd. So when the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd," as we've already said, there's an assurance there of salvation. He's recognizing the Lord as Savior Shepherd. That's the only way Christ is presented as shepherd, is as the Savior Shepherd. Now, with all of that, he is the God Shepherd. He's God. The Lord is my shepherd. God is my shepherd. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is equal with the Father. John chapter 1, very familiar verse of Scripture. John chapter 1, verse 18. Verse 1 and 2, of course, are very plain concerning the deity of Jesus Christ. But in John 1, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. Then notice, the only begotten Son, which is Jesus, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. That is God the Father. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And of course we could make reference to many, many scriptures concerning the deity of Christ. But looking, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the shepherd, is God. As God, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. As God, he laid down his life for the sheep. As God, he came, conquered death and the grave. And as God, he is coming again. Jesus Christ made himself equal with God. By equal, that means he's everything that God is. John chapter 5, verse 18. John chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath in their eyes, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Every time he referred to God as his Father, he was making himself equal with God. The Jews understood that. And every time he's referred to as the Son, it's a title of equality with the Father. John chapter 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He did not look at it as blasphemy to declare himself to be equal with God. He is the very image of God the Father. You see Jesus Christ, you see God the Father. Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Who is, this speaks of Christ, the image of the invisible God. That is, he's the likeness, he's the reflection of the invisible God. The firstborn, and firstborn here speaks of place and status. The firstborn of every creature. That is, he has a place and status above every creature. He's God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Speaking of the Son, who being the brightness of his glory and the express or exact image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, which he had by himself purged our sins, sat down in the right hand of the majesty on high. He is the God shepherd. He is the Savior shepherd. He is the God shepherd, which means he is everything that God is. And everything that he is for the sheep. He's eternal, he's infinite, he's immutable, he's sovereign, he's everything, he's almighty, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's everything that God the Father is, and he is the shepherd. That is a foundational truth. Jesus Christ is God. And a lot of people get mixed up in their theology and border blasphemy, if not guilty of blasphemy, when they begin to try to put the difference between the God-man and God. Put a difference between the deity and the humanity of Jesus Christ. As a safeguard against falling into error, remember this, he's God. And any teaching that makes him anything less than God is blasphemy. Even in his manhood, he was no less God. And it's heresy to go there. And therefore, people need to be very, very, very careful when they begin to dissect the humanity and the deity of Christ. Don't lose sight of he's God, and you never make him less than God. Because if you do, there is no salvation. If he's less than God, he's not the Savior. Our salvation depends upon the deity of Jesus Christ. Depends upon Christ being God. And if you ever, and you will, and you have, speak to a Jehovah's Witness. Just keep pressing and pressing and pressing Jesus Christ. They can't stand it. They cannot stand Jesus Christ. But that's what they need, and they're no different. Everybody needs that. And that's what they need to understand. Don't get caught up in all their other nonsense. Just keep coming back. You need Jesus. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. And after a few minutes, they're going to leave. Either that or the Lord's going to deal with them. But that's what they need. And this is a cardinal truth. He is God. But our point is, he's the shepherd. He's the God shepherd. And that's why the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." There's no need to, I shall not lack, and I shall not want any other because of who he is. He's God. He's not just any other shepherd. He's the God shepherd. He stands alone as the God shepherd. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer.